Summer and Dean. In South California, the road trip continues. We have literally just pulled off the interstate, as I believe they call their motorways, and we're just driving into downtown San Diego now. You're really excited about this because you've already got your RuPaul t-shirt on.
I do, and all good RuPaul fans would know that this is where he comes from. I'm hoping that we see him once we're out and about.
Is he likely to be in town?
Well, I'm sure if he knows that we're here, he'll make the effort to come and join us. I mean, who wouldn't? Stay tuned, because we're going to be beer sampling later on. I'm a bit worried about how that's going to end up.
We'll be fine, darling. We'll be absolutely fine. I'm really looking forward to San Diego, though, because I've heard so many great things about it. So many beaches, but also, you know, it is a big city, mm-hmm. so that it's got the museums, it's got the art galleries, it's got the theatres, it's got a bit more sort of cultural things to do, if that's your bag.
Yeah,
you know? So
yeah.
There's all that. But I'm particularly... There's a man brushing his teeth in the back of a car! Did you see that?
Wow.
Sorry, that was just so surreal.
It's going to be one of those days.
We have lucked out with our accommodation, haven't we, in San Diego?
We really have. We feel like we've stepped back in time a little bit.
We do. As we arrived, it's like arriving at a big old colonial mansion. And then you walk through this vast lobby that we're still at the moment, and out the back is a huge swimming pool. Yes. And it's actually billed as a swimming club as well. Let's talk to the general manager, Dieter Hissan, of the Lafayette Hotel. Dieter, this place is phenomenal, right?
It's a fun little boutique hotel. Yeah, it has a lot of history and a lot of nicks and crannies that are unique to this hotel that you don't find anywhere else. So we're very proud to be here and run a nice little fun hotel. Have a lot of international guests, and we enjoy just being host to a little bit of old Hollywood.
Yes.
You can really feel that, actually. You really can.
It feels totally Hollywood,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it
and
does.
In fact, you opened in 1946, and you had a celebrity as the first ever guest to sign the register.
Well, there was a gentleman named Bob Hope, and I hope most of you are familiar with him. He was the first guest that was here. We have a restaurant named Hope 46, which is in part named after him as well. And so he was here quite often, along with some of the other Hollywood charm, and the Rat Pack, and all these guys in the 50s and early 60s. There was a lot of Hollywood elite that came here. And if you walk through the hotel, you see quite a few pictures of a lot of the Hollywood elite that was here as guests.
So you're saying the Rat Pack actually came and chilled here?
Yeah, they were here.
Dean
Martin was here. I know Sammy Davis Jr. was here, there were a number of these guys that came, but they were a little bit after the Hollywood, the 46, I think, was a different time that Rat Pack came in the early 60s. So they were in here in San Diego, a little bit more in the Newport Beach area where you just came from. They had a little bit of history up there.
Well, you've got another Dean Martin visit you in 2018, because that's who I'm named after.
Oh, okay.
So if it's good enough for Dean Martin, it's good enough for me.
And lots of glamorous women as well. I mean, some of the pictures of the Hollywood female stars that came here are just stunning.
Very true. We had the Hollywood Connection, even is in the main conservatory where we're standing right now. We have a Hollywood star that's really oversized, and the gentleman that built the place originally had that Hollywood Connection, so he built himself a big Hollywood star with his name in the middle of the lobby.
Yeah, but the real centerpiece for me for the whole hotel is that huge swimming pool just behind us with all the rooms all the way around it. And am I right in saying it was designed by Tarzan? I mean, that sounds weird saying it, but it was.
Very true. There's Johnny Weissmuller, who was a five-time Olympian gold medalist, and then later on Tarzan in the first Hollywood movies of Tarzan. He was actually the gentleman that designed the pool back then. And you look at the pool, and it has a little black in the back as well, and we even had somebody famous train in there.
Tell us about that. This is quite fascinating for our listeners, because it's a bit of touch of home for us, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. There's a lady called, her name was Florence Chadwick, and she was an American long-distance swimmer. She was the first female swimming the English Channel back and forth in the early 50s. So she trained here, and back then there was actually an event to watch somebody swim and train for a long distance like that. So we have some pictures with a lot of people just watching somebody swimming in a pool, which is kind of fun these days, but back then it was a great thing, right?
Completely riveting, I can imagine.
Yeah,
just back and forward.
So just tell us a little bit about this area that we're in, because we've literally just arrived and we don't really know where we are.
So North Park is really an up-and-coming, really urban area for San Diego. It's it is one of the hippest neighborhoods these days. There's Little Italy and North Park, which are really the big two hip areas. A lot of apartments being built. Most of the breweries that San Diego is known for are located in North Park. There's some cool, really cool restaurants. It's a really, it's a great scene, from everything from very alternative, from a lot of tattoo shops to some really cool shops for clothing as well as even the food is some great, again, some great little restaurants, some cheese shops, to all sorts of different things. But the breweries are definitely the main attraction for North Park, and some clubs and music venues as well.
Don't worry, we will definitely be exploring the breweries. We'll be doing that today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dieter, manager of the Lafayette Hotel. I feel like what I need to do now is put on a ball gown, drink a vodka martini and retire to the ballroom. Yeah?
I think I might jump in the pool and do a couple of legs, and hopefully everybody will watch me.
It's Emma and Dean in San Diego, and we're in a district called North Park, which we're assured it's a bit like Shoreditch.
Yes, apparently if you squint your eyes and tilt your head to the right, it looks like Shoreditch.
I think they mean it. They used to be quite sort of seedy and run down, and it's now where all the hip, cool people live, I think is what they're getting at, really.
Yes, and our first stop here in San Diego is to a shop called Roughskin. Now, Emma, let's just describe what we can see in the windows.
Okay, first of all, I'm just going to let you know that Roughskin is spelled R-U-F, skin. And I'm guessing this is a shop aimed at people that don't, or men really, that don't really want to wear that many clothes.
No, or men that are particularly into sort of textures in terms of leather.
Or maybe men
denim.
That want to do some welding.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
And cowboy boots are in there as well. It's all going on. There's not much in the way of clothing, as Emma said, but there are some very colourful pants. Let's go inside and chat to the owner and the founder, Douglas Coates. Douglas, come on over. Let's have a chat with us.
So tell us about Roughskin. What is this all about?
Hello. What is Roughskin about? Basically, it started with that word, roughskin, which is basically where the denim that we started with 16 years ago now. So basically, roughskin, meaning like, you know, casca grosso, the Brazilian term, the jiu-jitsu term for like kind of like rough against your skin.
Okay.
Denim.
Is that your sort of trademark item then, the denim pants?
It is the trademark item, but I think it also kind of went and varied into a lot of other different categories. Like a lot of people think of us as just underwear and swimwear as well. Mm. But we do all sorts of different styles. The sportswear is probably one of our number one items too.
Explain just this area then, because you've sort of told us a little bit that it used to be full of gay bars, and it's not so much anymore.
Right. No, it's interesting. It's funny how like usually the kind of seedier parts of town get taken over by the gay people, and then all of a sudden the real estate kind of goes way up. This is a perfect example of what happened here before, where it was kind of like all the club scene. There was a lot of gay bars here away from the city of the neighborhood of Hillcrest, which you're probably aware of. This is North Park. It's not too far away, but it's just about maybe a mile east. It was kind of like a seedy, kind of dangerous area, and now it's gotten very trendy and hipster. I hate to use that word, but hipster. And
I mean, you're quite a big brand, aren't you, known across the world? But this is your HQ. This is where you started off, yeah?
We do everything. Everything is crafted in California. We make everything literally probably within 20 miles of here, which is really difficult to do, especially nowadays where everything is really expensive. I mean, living in California is expensive. I mean, please come, but it's like San Diego's really beautiful, but we call it the sun tax because it's, you know, it's not cheap living here, but you also get the most beautiful weather and the most beautiful sunsets and beautiful people. So it's all worth it.
And beautiful shopping.
Yeah, it's quite hard to like concentrate on your face when behind you there's a big video screen with lots of semi-naked pictures of men on it. So you are very much aiming at the gay market, aren't you, really?
It didn't start out to be that way, but it eventually does when you show fit people, healthy people, not a lot of clothing, I guess, on people. So it's like, yeah, I guess it maneuvered into the gay world. Which we're very proud of.
It's for men who like adventurous pants, I would say. Yes. When I say pants, I mean knickers.
I mean, they're to sell my fish, basically, I mean, they're pants that fit really, really well. And you do feel really sexy when you wear them. And we've often heard of people saying, you know, I wore your pants out. Or I guess you could knickers. Knickers. Well, your people say knickers.
Pants is fine. We're not going to use that word. Knickers.
You know, when they go out to a club and they always feel, you know, oh my gosh, your pants did me so well. You know, like I got picked up on and stuff.
Yes, I think they would be pulling pants, wouldn't they?
You'll be pleased to know that I didn't pack many pants for my 10-day adventure here in California. So I'm going to do a bit of shopping.
Sounds good.
Show me around.
All right, sounds good.
I want to get my hands on some pants.
Jeans?
I would some underwear. Oh, yeah,
sure. No, underwear. Underwear. We're talking underwear. Look, so you've got the classic denim here.
This is something that we just relaunched. There was a signature pile-up
wow.
in 2002 when it started.
Ooh.
They're actually denim briefs. Slash underwear slash swimwear, so you could do a little bit of everything in those.
They're quite skimpy, those.
They're skimpy, but it's
I don't mind.
You could wear underneath your jeans for a different kind of contrast from the jeans and an underwear.
Or you could go for a nice sort of bright pink one. Talk us through these.
White fabric. It's a very type of interlocked woven fabric that is super comfortable on your man pieces.
You know, I do. That's all well and good, and I do like both of those options, but these ones have really caught my eye. This
yes.
beautiful white
yes.
netting. Now, we've got a pool party to go to in Palm Springs. Could I get away with that?
You could, but you know what's going to happen, right?
Well, everyone's going to see my bum, aren't they?
Yeah, and you're also going to have little crisscross tan marks on there. But that could be really cool.
That could be quite cool.
I'm sure they'll like to see that back in England.
Okay, do you do these in an extra, extra, extra large?
We don't.
Oh, damn it. Dean puts the pants back.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned that you have your model out the back.
Uh-huh.
May I go and have a little look?
You model?
Yeah, he's got a model. The Ruskin what? Model's out the back. Out the back of the shop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, come on, Emma.
Oh, look, we're going... Oh, we're going through the workroom now.
Yeah, there are
all
dogs.
The, all the fabrics here, the designers are here.
And your really fit model, where is he? Hi, of course he's eating salad. Hi. Hi, Logan,
oh,
you're nice.
Hi.
My friends from London.
We recognise you from all the photos. So you actually work here as well?
Yep, definitely.
Doing what, apart from modelling?
Logistics and wholesale.
And eating salad.
Yeah.
Why are you weighing your salad? Have you got a photo shoot tomorrow or something?
No, it's just coincidence that it's on the scale.
So how often do they make you go up in the hills behind San Diego and take your clothes off and model underwear?
Like 2-3 times a month.
So do you love it, or do you ever get conscious being out in the hills semi-naked?
I love it. I'm a nature boy at heart.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay. What are your most favourite pair of Ruskin pants then?
Matchstick or Hendrix?
Matchstick or Hendrix.
Yeah, they're stretch denim. They're freaking great.
And if I put them on, will my bum look as good as yours does?
Probably.
Nice.
Probably. Yeah, you know, they
go right back
stretchy,
and get a pair
you know,
of those.
They hold everything up together pretty nice. They're great.
Nice.
I think you're being too kind.
I think you are, dude. If you do come to San Diego, then come and see the boys here at Ruffskin. It's got a really lovely feel, this shop, Emma, doesn't it? Because you can, you know, the models are here. You can see things being made. There are dogs. It does feel great.
Oh, well, I've never been to a clothes shop where you get to meet the models before,
yes.
So that's fabulous. Thank you so much.
What a perfect way to spend the evening, Emma, at the Hillcrest Brewing Company here in San Diego. We're going to sample some beers, we're going to eat some food.
And apparently it's the world's first LGBT brewery. What does that even mean?
I know. Well, there's someone here that might be able to enlighten us a little bit. Anna, introduce yourself to our listeners.
Hi, everybody. My name is Anna Bigalski, and I live in San Diego, California. I work at Hillcrest Brewing Company, which is apparently the world's first out and proud LGBT brewery. It's a bold claim, I think. But it's definitely a community that I'm super jazzed to be a part of.
So what made you move to San Diego? Because you're not from here, are you?
No, I'm originally from Philadelphia, and I grew up surfing in New Jersey. A lot of people don't know that you can surf in New Jersey.
No.
But I was 12 years old, and I told my parents I was going to move to California. And so a couple years ago, I finally got around to it and ended up in the Bay Area. I lived in San Francisco for 3 years and moved to San Diego last year in pursuit of warmer water and a little bit more of a laid-back lifestyle.
Okay, so was it mainly just surfing decision then?
Surfing. I was burning out at my job. I wanted to. I worked an office gig for years and years, and I just wanted to do something a little bit different. I worked in restaurants for forever, so I feel really comfortable in the kind of service industry. It gives me a little bit of time to go surfing in the morning, do some writing, and then I get to sell beer and pizza.
What a lifestyle.
What a life.
That doesn't sound bad, does it? So what is the gay scene like here in San Diego?
You know, it was kind of funny because when I told people I was moving to San Diego, I got a lot of reactions because San Francisco is definitely, it's a huge... obviously a cultural institution in terms of LGBT community. So a lot of people were a little bit concerned when I told them I was moving to San Diego because they said, you know, it's a really conservative city. There's a huge military presence. You know, do you feel comfortable? But I think that San Diego is one of the most accepting places I've ever lived. It was really interesting to come down here. And one of our sister restaurants, Gossip Grill, is currently the only 7-day-a-week women's bar, I think in California, maybe
really?
On the West Coast.
Is it good?
It's fantastic. And the great thing about that is, obviously a lot of like lesbian girl bars, feminine bars, they're kind of dropping off And it's been a little bit of an epidemic across the country. So it was really reassuring to know that that was there. And as soon as I walked in, they have this big neon sign, neon pink sign that says, "Welcome home, beautiful." And it's one of those things that you just kind of feel in your heart. You're like, oh, my God, this is beautiful. And I didn't know when I had first started going there that I would end up working at one of our sister bars. But yeah, I just walked in, asked for a job, and they said, okay.
So talk to us about Hillcrest then. So is this the only brewery here in the community?
This is the only brewery that is in this neighborhood, but if you just go down the street, down University Ave, in San Diego, you can hardly throw a rock without hitting a brewery. But we're the only one for at least a mile or so around here.
And what I love is that we're sat here, and we've only just arrived in Hillcrest, but behind us is a huge rainbow flag, and across the road I can see the sign for Harvey Milk Street. So you really get the sense that you are in the gayborhood, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's a really amazing community, especially since I've started working here, that we get a lot of regulars, we get a lot of tourists, a lot of people that are looking for an LGBT brewery, or a lot of people that are just looking to drink beer, you know, even if they don't identify with the community. So it's a really beautiful meeting place. We get a lot of people that have just moved here and they're looking for kind of a bar to call their own, or, you know, like their regular spot that they're going to go on a Wednesday night or something. So it's really nice to have been welcomed with open arms. And to also be able to kind of give that back to the community, too.
Do you know what I like? It's like, I do like going to gay bars, but sometimes they're really rubbish beer, don't they? You can get a quality real ale here.
Yeah. And your food menu looks incredible as well. It really does.
Yeah, I'm an East Coast pizza snob, and I 100% love our pizza. I wouldn't feel comfortable serving bad pizza, and I fully back what we do here. Everything's made from scratch, super fresh, really small kitchen, really solid staff. So, I mean, everything that we do is really on point.
This is good. You love your job. You know, when we first arrived, Dean actually said to you, oh, my God, you've got a glow. It's like people in California have that thing, didn't you? Is this why you wanted to live here?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the kind of thing that I think growing up anywhere that isn't California almost seems like Narnia. You know, it's got this like mythical kind of like, I remember growing up and thinking there's no way it's as cool as everybody says it is. And I got here and was like, oh, my God, it is. Like, this is the best.
I feel myself kind of like slowing down everything I say. I mean, if you know me to be so subdued, I just feel so like I've just got to really relax. I mean, look at the way I'm even sitting. I never sit like this.
So California.
I just feel so really relaxed.
We need to get our hair dyed blonde and get more tattoos.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, we can paddleboard. We can do that now. That's pretty Californian, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, pretty much anything that you enjoy or anything that is like outdoors and fun, I feel like California is like, yeah, sure. I mean, San Diego, that's one thing that I love about San Diego Pride too, is that it's like, it's a big party and everybody's there to enjoy and everybody's there because we have the parade right here.
Yeah.
And so this was kind of like the very beginning of everything. But yeah, it's kind of like California, it's what California is all about. When people think sunshine, California, you know, golden dream of a state, you know, it's paddleboarding, it's surfing, it's the beach, it's beer, it's partying, it's fun.
Are you sure you don't work?
We've kind of done all of that. Does that mean that we kind of qualify? I mean, do you know what I mean?
I'd call you an honorary Californian.
Yeah. Really?
Right. Brilliant.
There we go.
We're
done.
Moving here. Throw the passport
this
away. We're living here
this
now.
Is it.
It's Emma and Dean in South California. We're on our road trip, and finally, my goodness me, it's taken days, but we finally ended up at a brewery.
Yes, we really have. And if there's one way that you could sort of impress Emma and Dean, it's to put them in the sunshine, in a big gay neighbourhood, and plunk loads of beer in front of them.
Yeah. Well, not just at any brewery, though. Apparently, this is the world's first out and proud LGBT brewery, and we're with the chief brewer. It's John Shaver. Hi, John.
Hello, how's it going?
Very good. Tell us about the HBC, then, the Hillcrest Brewing Company.
So we've been open for 6 years, and we're kind of the house beer for all of our sister restaurants.
Now that's a lot of beer. Tell us, how many different beers do you have on your menu at the moment?
Right now I have 8. I brew, I think, about 12 year-round. So for right now, I have 8 on tap right now for you guys to try.
Well, I've just been back to the brewery, which is literally just a few vats or tanks behind the bar, really. So do you just do one at a time? Is that how it works?
I do 3 at a time. We do 500 barrels a year, which is the equivalent of 1,000 kegs.
Wow.
So not a whole lot, but more than... more than I can drink on my own.
Okay. Do you have a speciality? What's your favorite?
In San Diego, we're really known for our IPAs, like the really hoppy, slightly bitter stuff. I think one of my specialties is my Hefeweizen and our Scotch ale, which is called the Banana Hammock.
How's your pearl necklace?
It fits nicely.
Yes.
This is a beer name, by the way. Yeah. So let's talk through your beer. You've just brought us a flight of beers. They've all got very rude names. Should we just start going through them and tasting
them? Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So the first one is the U-Haul Hefeweizen.
Let's have a little sip of that.
Yeah. Mm. So it's light and fruity.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. It's quite citrusy, I'd say. Oh.
Yeah, you can drink that all day.
Is there honey in this?
No, there is not.
Where's that sweetness coming from?
It's coming from the German Hefeweizen yeast.
It's gorgeous.
I know.
It's quite hoppy. It's quite light, and it's probably the lightest beer that we've got on here.
Yeah, it's one of them. It's one of the two lightest beers that we have on there, for sure.
Oh, nice. You've created these. You've brewed those. Talk us through them whilst we taste them. How do you actually go about putting them together?
So I've been making beer on my own and also on like this big scale for over 10 years now, and I just kind of it's kind of like a chef where you kind of like know what flavors will go together. I just know what flavors will go together and which flavors won't, and I tend to choose the ones that will go together.
This is called Crotch Rocket.
Yes, I'm really interested in this one because it's an Irish red. What makes this Irish? Be careful.
It's a type of yeast and how much you can drink of it.
Oh, really? This is when Dean necks it, just to prove how Irish he is. It's this one.
Don't get the
wrong
one.
Okay, let's have a little look.
I don't normally like a red beer, but I quite like that. It's not too strong, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's mellow. It's only like 5.6 or...
Nice.
And then at this point, this is where we start to get towards the... more boozy beers.
And this is an Indian Pale Ale.
Yes, this is what San Diego is known for. These next two are like the San Diego type of beers. Very hoppy, very balanced, but still boozy, but will also...
Do you like that, Emma?
Oh, John, that's good.
Oh, Emma's pulling a face.
It's really cloudy.
Is it? It looks like a mango juice, doesn't it? It's really cloudy.
Yeah.
How do you get that consistency?
I don't filter it.
You don't filter it?
No, I actually don't filter any of these beers because I don't have one.
Who needs a filter?
Simply, I just don't have one, and I don't have the ability to, so I just don't do it.
See, that's not for me, that one, because it's just a little bit too hoppy. But Emma, you love it, don't you?
I really like that. Let's move on to the really pokey ones,
right,
then.
So this is the Hopsucker. This is the one that I'm drinking. 9.3%. This is our double IPA. It's smooth. It does not drink like a double IPA at all.
That's lethal, John.
Dearie me.
What are you thinking, making
I'm
beer that alcoholic?
Absolutely steaming.
Yeah.
We've only had 5 sips.
Oh, my goodness.
But it doesn't even taste like it's 9% alcohol.
How can you sink that so quick?
I'm a professional, dude.
I'm a
professional.
Hold that thought. I need to go to the bathroom.
You can't go right now.
Please, I need to go to the bathroom.
You can't go right now.
One more beer.
You've only got one more sip. Hold on a sec. I have one beer and I need to go to the wee-wee.
Well, you can't go
now. I've had nine.
You can't go. You've only had a sip.
Come on, please.
We need to go for another minute.
Okay. So then, then will you go to the bathroom with me after? Because I don't think I can find my way.
I'll guide you.
Okay.
Last one, we're going back to something light. It's a Belgian wit that we actually make for one of our other restaurants called Inside Out.
That's divine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's absolutely gorgeous.
So we make that for them because they wanted me to make a shandy, and I said no.
That's why I like it.
So they make a shandy themselves over there.
What I like about you, John, is there's no messing, is there? You're like, I can't be bothered with filtering. Can't be bothered making anything weak. If you're going to drink beer, just be hardcore or go home.
You know, I'm from New England, so that's how it is.
God, well... Dean is actually bouncing up and down.
Honestly, anybody that knows me that's listening will be absolutely wet themselves because if I go to night out, I have one sip of beer and I'm in the toilet.
You're pretty much shaking, dude.
I'm bouncing.
I can take your microphone and you can just...
Do you want to just chat and I'll just... Okay, you do that.
All right, bye, Dean. Bye. See ya.
Wee-wee.
Unbelievable. He does this all the time.
I don't know,
man. Can't take the pace, honestly.
I mean, how long have you known this guy?
Who is this? Too long. So what is it about, very quickly, whilst he's gone?
He's running, by the way.
There's something wrong with that boy.
I don't know.
He's got no bladder. He's not hardcore
weird.
Like us, John. Why do you love beer so much? What is it about beer?
Well, when I first started making beer, it was in my dorm room with my friends because we couldn't get it. We couldn't get it legally, you know. Then all my friends got real jobs, and I started making beer in Southern California, so that's cool. But they, but like the reason why I like beer is because I can just make a bunch of really tasty things that people will continue to come back and drink. I mean, it's
you make people happy.
Yeah, it's like a recession-proof type of job. You know, I mean, it's something that I could also just really take pride in, and I have people come back every day and every week, and
I'm not surprised. Dean's even come back.
Hey, he's here.
Yeah, thanks so much, everyone.
You feeling better?
Feeling so much better. I need to just spend a quick penny, but I'm back. So yeah,
now you've got about 5 pints.
I'm honest.
You've had nine sips of beer. Absolute lightweight. Call yourself an Irishman.
Drunk. No, I just feel a little bit tipsy. It was that 9%. What's right. It called?
Oh,
your hop sucker. Yeah. Your hop sucker got me absolutely hop suckered.
Right.
That's what happened.
Should we go and lie down?
No, let's hit the time.
Okay.
Come on. We have just experienced 8 different beers, 9 different beers.
Can you still speak? You're not going to slur your words?
I'm going to try my best. We're the Hillcrest Brewing Company, and we're joined now by the lovely Lucas, who sounds to me, Emma,
yep,
like he knows everything there is to know about Hillcrest, the LGBT community. Boy. Is that right? Are you a queen? Tell me the truth.
Of course, girl. 3 snaps and around the world.
Oh, let me guess. Are you a RuPaul fan as well?
Oh, duh. We do RuPaul's viewing parties every Thursday. Well, Thursdays now, when she's on. So the new season will come on, and we do a massive viewing party on our dance floor at Urban Mouse.
Well, I didn't even know until this morning that RuPaul was from San Diego, so I'm guessing it's...
I know. Sacrilege.
All right, okay. There are,
absolutely
I'm guessing it's...
I'm just kidding. I only learned like a year ago.
Well, is it a bit of a tourist draw, though? Do people come to have the RuPaul experience or to see...
You know, we're very fortunate because we have Chad Michaels, which is RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star winner. So she is our resident drag queen. She has a Wednesday night show called the Dream Girls Review. It's been going on for 11, 12 plus years at Urban Mouse. So we're fortunate to have her with us.
She'd never tell you it was going for that long, would she? She, in her eyes, she would say, I went straight out of the room and onto the stage.
No, she's pretty humble.
She denies all that surgery, though, doesn't she? Surgery?
Maybe, depending on who she's talking to.
Exactly.
She's great, though. If you haven't seen Chad Michaels, she is a Cher lookalike to the T. Every time Cher comes out with a new outfit, she has it the next day.
She's phenomenal. You must go and see her show when you come to San Diego.
Okay. So obviously there's a good drag scene in San Diego. What about
Absolutely.
The rest of the gay scene? What's it like?
You know what? We have a pretty awesome gay scene, LGBTQ+ scene.
Of course, yes.
In San Diego. There's something for everyone, from transgender
Even lesbians.
People, even lesbians. Gossip Girl is one of our locations. It's one of probably 7 lesbian bars left in the United States.
That's weird, isn't it?
That's ridiculous.
Why?
Actually.
Why
it's
only 7 in a country this big?
You know what? We've actually asked that same question. A lot of our women clientele say that they just don't go out. You know, once lesbians get together, they just
what's wrong with these
stay
people?
Home.
Yeah,
know.
It didn't happen in my life.
No?
I'd be going out to all
She's
the
never
all
been
seven.
She's never
all
been
7
in.
Lesbian bars. I'm going to do a tour of the country.
Check. So aside from that then, you know, I think this neighborhood, we don't actually have what you guys have here really, really well in San Diego's Hillcrest. We don't necessarily have a neighborhood gay scene. It doesn't exist. Why do you think it's really important and quite unique to America, this sort of gayborhood kind of feel?
We have terrible public transit. Yeah, the gays have to walk to our bars. Honestly, I think that is one of the reasons. Our public transit in the United States is terrible. If you go to New York or Chicago, they do have a little bit more of a gay scene that's spread out. In the U.S., you do. You have strips of gay neighborhoods. Also, a lot of the gay culture. If you look back at a lot of the United States gay culture, there are segmented neighborhoods that where just people adopted that neighborhood and they all started buying houses, redeveloping. Mm. That just became that hood. So, yeah.
And why did you move to this hood? Because you said you're originally from Florida. What yeah. brought you to San Diego then?
That's a long, sordid oh, okay. story. But we'll just go with a job offer. Yeah.
So say you've just arrived in San Diego, like we have. Where would we be going? What would our weekend look like if it was if we were going out with you?
If you're going out with me, where would we start? Where wouldn't we start? That's the question. Obviously, all of the Moe's universe. So, started with Moe's, Gossip Grill.
Yeah, for the lesbians, yeah.
Baja Betty's, Hillcrest Brewing Company, and our latest and greatest, Inside Out.
What happens there?
So, Inside Out is an upscale urban oasis lounge. Mm. Craft cocktail, fine fare, very delicious. We'll have to go there tomorrow.
I feel like we're not dressed for that, though.
We're not
dressed. But is it quite a casual scene, though?
San Diego is very casual. Yeah. You could get away with what we're wearing, but it is a little bit more upscale, so you might feel a little bit uncomfortable if you're not wearing, you know, a collared shirt.
We'll get Shishi tomorrow and go out.
Once we finish this flight of beer, I think we won't really care what we look
we
like
won't care what we're wearing. No.
Why do you think sort of LGBT people and beyond, really, should come to San Diego? How would you sell it to them?
You know what? Our city is very open and pretty liberal as far as the LGBTQ community goes. Our mayor's very gay-friendly. We have an LGBTQ plus task force with our police department. There is a transgender police officer who's very open, very welcoming, comes to the community organizations and comes to our community meetings. San Diego really reaches out to the LGBTQ plus community and actually has a task force and gets input from all of the community members. So, yeah, I would say because it's such a strong knit community and our local government is very open and very honest with us. So
fabulous. It is fantastic, and we're moving here anyway, so that's good.
We are.
When it becomes San Diego, how do you call it? San Diegoans?
San Diegan.
San Diegan.
Okay, we're going to become San Diegan.
We are. And if we get lost tonight, all we need to do is follow the big, massive rainbow flag, and there's no place like home. So, did you know that San Diego is the highest producer of avocados in the United States of America, Emma? Did you know that?
I did know that. Because
why did you know that?
Well, I looked it up online. And it's very well known.
I told you that. I told you that in the car yesterday.
It's a very well-known fact about San Diego. This is avocado capital, and we are at the Mission in San Diego. We've just had the most incredible Mexican-inspired breakfast, and everyone had a separate plate of avocados.
Yeah, and it was stunning avocado, very fresh, very lovely. What a beautiful breakfast. And can we talk quickly about that drink that you just had? Because that was rocket fuel.
I don't know what it was called, a Vincent something. Vincent Volta.
Mm.
I'm drinking espresso mixed with Coca-Cola, mixed with vanilla syrup and ice. It is something else.
She can see signed.
Oh, my God. Anyway, let's have a chat with Joe Timko, who's from the San Diego Tourism Authority. Joe, this is a pretty good place to visit, isn't it? What's your favourite bit?
My favorite part, too, it's a tough one. You have beautiful beaches. You have really cool neighborhoods, like where we're at. You have really wonderful people, which really, I think, is great because it makes the city very welcoming and accessible. And then you have, like, great food, like you just experienced, great arts. So it's a big city, but it's just kind of a big city that's sort of like what you would experience or think Southern California would be, where it's casual and easy and pretty friendly.
But it hasn't always been that way, though, has it?
No, I've lived in San Diego for many years, and although I don't want to say when I first moved here, but it used to be many years ago.
It was the 70s.
Yeah, it was the 70s. That was very sweet of you.
Sorry.
Okay, so many, many, many years ago, when light was discovered, I had moved to San Diego, and it was, you know, a fairly quiet, conservative military community that really didn't have a lot of color to it. And honestly, a friend of mine used to call the city somewhat beige. You know, it was a pretty place. We're often known for having beautiful beaches and great weather and a great zoo. But it wasn't very interesting. And over the last couple of decades, it's really evolved and developed into this very dynamic urban metropolis that didn't lose its character, it didn't lose its friendliness and its beauty and its great weather, but it just evolved into the eighth largest city by population in the U.S. with great food, great neighborhoods, and all those things that you would expect in a big city, but in a very casual and relaxed environment.
You did use a brilliant phrase while we were eating breakfast, though, that this city has gone from... Go on, you say it.
Well, it's gone from pretty to sexy. And that's, you know, it's like we all love to be pretty, but there's another thing about being sexy.
Yeah. Being sexy.
And that was just something, you know, working in my capacity, working with media, there was a newspaper story written about 10 or 12 years ago by USA Today, which, as you know, is a national newspaper that's pretty credible in the States. And they did a story on San Diego, which was called Surf the New San Diego. And they called us sexy. And, you know, once you're called sexy, that's when you're, you know, your dress flies up and you're excited, you know.
So nice analogy. Exactly. Yeah. But not just sexy. It's also become a lot more LGBT friendly, you've experienced.
Yeah, the city is a very welcoming city. We have one of the largest pride celebrations in the country. We have a great film festival. We have Black's Beach, where I go every weekend, which is considered one of the most beautiful gay beaches in the world. Our neighborhoods, you know, Hillcrest at one time was sort of the epicenter of our gay community, where that's where a lot of the bars are and still where a lot of the bars are. But now, you know, every area, even here in North Park right now, is incredibly gay friendly. There's a number of bars out here, but we've all migrated to other parts of the city, and it's a very welcoming and always has been, for the most part, a very welcoming gay community.
What have you got in store for us today then? Because you're our leader and we're at your mercy, and I imagine we've got quite a busy day.
Well, I think we're going to start and try to be a little bit cultural. So what we're going to do is we're going to go down to Balboa Park, and Balboa Park is basically our central park within San Diego. It's 1,400 acres. It's a big, and it's right on the edge of downtown and not far from where we are right now. But Balboa Park has a very large recreational area. There's a velodrome, there's a golf course, there's hiking trails. But the other part and more notable part of Balboa Park is it's our cultural center. So it was actually developed for a 1915-1916 Panama, California exposition. It was basically a World's Fair that was given to San Francisco, and our city officials wanted a similar sort of event here. So it was when the Panama Canal was opening, we created a huge celebration at that time, and that's when the park was developed. There's beautiful architecture, but most notable, there's about 17 museums, beautiful gardens, the San Diego Zoo is there. There's also our Old Globe Theater, which is actually, if you looked at our globe, it looks like the Old Globe Theater that you would find in London, where they do Shakespearean plays every summer. They do shows that move to Broadway. But basically, we're going to go to Balboa Park and kind of get our cultural side on, and then after that, we're going to head to the beach. We're going to go down to Black's Beach. We're going to go down there.
We need to talk about Black's Beach, because I hear that clothing is very optional.
Well, clothing is very optional. So you have an opportunity to take off all your clothes, run into the ocean, scream as loudly as you want.
That sounds like fun, Emma.
Can I opt that Dean keeps his clothes on?
You can opt that you keep your clothes on.
I will be.
I will if you will.
You can do whatever you want. But Black's is honestly, and not just because it's a gay beach, to me it's one of the most striking beaches in San Diego.
I'm so excited.
You have to climb down some cliffs. There's these very dramatic 300-foot cliffs that is set against Black Beach. Off the cliffs, people go paragliding, so you'll see paragliders soaring above, and it's just a stunning setting and one of 33 very beautiful beaches within the San Diego region.
Okay, so we're doing the park, we're doing the beach. Is there anything else that people visiting San Diego should definitely see or do?
I think you know, kind of depends on what you want to do and what kind of experience. The nice thing about San Diego, in general, throughout the year, it offers everything for anybody except if you're looking for winter sports. So we pretty much appeal to every kind of visitor throughout the year. It just kind of depends on your interest.
And if you like sexy.
And if you like sexy, go to the clubs at night.
Yes,
you
know, we'll try.
We're going to be doing that later. Yeah. But also what I like about San Diego is it has got a real Mexican vibe because you said the border's only 20K away.
Yeah, absolutely. We are... Downtown, as you just said, is about 20 kilometers from the Mexican border. We have a very strong and very healthy relationship with Mexico. About 30% of our population is of Hispanic heritage. So like you just experienced here, you had some great Mexican food. You see wonderful Mexican architecture. There's influence within our museums. A lot of the museums are also in Spanish language. There's an area called Chicano Park, which is right on the edge of downtown, which has the largest grouping of Hispanic outdoor murals, which is fascinating.
It's quite popular as well, isn't it, when you come to San Diego to just hop on the bus and go to Mexico for the day.
Absolutely.
That's very appealing, isn't it?
Yeah, you can go down to Mexico for a half-day tour. There's areas if you wanted to go further south. There's an area called Guadalupe Valley, which is right now becoming a very well-recognized region for wine. So there's some great Mexican wine that's being produced down there. There's some incredible Mexican chefs who are not only opening restaurants and having great food. It's called Cali Baja, which is a combination of fresh California ingredients with Mexican Mediterranean influence. And you'll find some of those chefs also opening restaurants now here in San Diego. So you can get some great food on both sides of the border as well, and culture.
Very nice.
Fabulous. Well, I can't wait to go out and explore it all.
Yes, stay tuned to find out if we actually do keep our clothes on. I'm not promising anything.
And if you fancy visiting, just go to visitsandiego.org for all your travel info.
All right, Emma, let's go to the park.
Yay!
It's Emma and Dean coming to you from a very sunny San Diego, but we've came inside actually to visit one of the 70 museums in the middle of Balboa Park.
It's a huge park, isn't it? But we've come to something that really pricked our interest. This exhibition is called LGBTQ plus San Diego, Stories of Struggles and Triumphs. So it's the history of the LGBT community, primarily in San Diego, but also across America, really.
Yes.
And it's done so well, isn't it?
It is. And when we're walking in, you can see the sort of array of exhibitions that have been made by some people in the community. One of the things that we particularly liked, didn't we, Emma, when we came in, was all these fabulous ribbons, these colourful ribbons of the rainbow hanging from the roof. And each and every single one of them has a different label attached to it that signify all parts of the
LGBTQ plus questioning.
It's all there.
And there's some really poignant, heartbreaking stuff in this exhibition, actually.
There is.
We've just been looking at a guy's diary from the 1980s who just crossed out every single person that he knew who had died from AIDS. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole history of the gay plague, as it used to be referred to, by not very nice people, obviously. There's some more positive stuff. So, for example, I'm quite impressed by this. The first ever drag club in San Diego in the Hillcrest area, 1968. That's the year before Stonewall.
Ah,
so that just goes
yes.
to show the legacy that drag has in this city.
You can almost tell as well that this is not just an exhibition of, you know, how far we've come as a community and the struggles that we've been through, but also looking ahead and creating hope and creating a great message. There's a great wall piece around the corner, which is called the Community Quilt, I believe, where you can go and take a piece of coloured card, write a message on it to a loved one, and stick it up on the wall. And it's beautiful because it sort of gives that legacy to people that come and visit the centre.
It's really beautiful, isn't it? And we stood in front of something equally beautiful, but quite tragic. It's the AIDS Memorial Quilt. Yes. Now, this was started in 1985. There are pieces of this all over the world. I've seen parts of it brought to the UK, but let's speak to the man who stood in front of this huge quilt.
I just walked around here and this man was sitting here on his phone, probably flicking through Facebook, and I thought, do you know anything about this? And he says, of course I do. Turns out he's an expert. So that's good.
What is your name? Expert. Sorry.
My name is Oren Scala.
Tell us about this quilt.
Okay, it's called the Names Project, and the AIDS quilt, as you said, started in 1985, and someone got the idea of making panels, quilt panels, for people to remember loved ones who had died of AIDS. And so each person or family gets a panel to decorate as they wish. It has grown from 1985. So now it's grown to, as you see, and one of the times, one, it's been displayed very rarely in its whole, in its entirety. This covers the national, the quilt covers the whole National Mall and beyond. In Washington,
which is a big park in D.C.
Yes, it's, I happen to know a couple of these people personally.
Tell us about them. Tell us about them.
Okay. Jess Jessup not only founded the archives, but also was a founder of what's called now the Center, which used to be called the Gay Center.
That's in the Hillcrest District, isn't it?
That's in Hillcrest. Okay, Dr. Brad Truax, I know him. Personally, I knew Jess Jessup personally. I knew Brad Truax personally. He was a physician here in San Diego who was one of the first doctors who was treating AIDS patients. He himself was a gay man and contracted AIDS. And he was a very prominent activist here in San Diego.
What age did they pass away?
I'm thinking both of those men died in their 30s.
Ah, tragic. Equally as tragic, there's a panel behind us here from a 12-year-old boy who contracted HIV through a blood transfusion to treat hemophilia. And it's quite a beautiful little panel here because it's got the childish balloons and the name David Mandel Jr. is in Crayola, and the message is, child of love, we hear you still. And it seems to be sort of signed there by members of his loved ones, which is just, it's heartbreaking but quite beautiful, isn't it, Oren?
Yes, it is.
And it's a real testament to the power of this quilt and how much it's held in high esteem, because there's a very important reason that you're sat here, isn't there? Tell us that.
In order for the museum to be allowed to display a part of the AIDS quilt, there had to be an agreement that there would be every time, all the time that the museum was open, there'd be someone standing guard here to make sure that nobody touched it or defaced it in any way. So volunteers from all over the community are going and taking a turn doing this. Nice. I also want to mention that I turned 18 in 1968, so do the math and figure it out. I was around before Stonewall, and I was certainly around during the beginning of the AIDS crisis, which was horrific because nobody knew what caused it. But they knew that it was contagious and they couldn't figure out how. And so everybody was full of fear.
I think young LGBT people kind of forget how terrifying it was, and they kind of take that for granted now, don't they?
Yes. Well, when I before Stonewall, I could have been arrested just for being in a gay bar.
And here we are. Here we are standing in a in an exhibition that is celebrating that life as well. And that really is what this is. And I know we're sort of pinpointing bits here that are quite poignant and quite sad, but it is a great place to come and visit, actually, if you're visiting San Diego, because of the celebration element of it, right?
Exactly. Not only the celebration, but there's a lot of positive here that shows not only the courage, but how the wonderful, vibrant community that we have here in San Diego, the LGBT community. And I should mention that the city of San Diego has more LGBT council members and politicians and office holders than San Francisco does.
Yeah, we heard you might even be getting a gay mayor at some point.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for that one. Well, thank you so much for talking to us this afternoon. Get back to your volunteering. You're doing a brilliant job.
Right.
And, if you get the chance, when you're in San Diego, do come to the History Centre as well. And fingers crossed this exhibition will still be on.
So I've spent quite a lot of today talking about being naked, and apparently you've got a bit of a surprise for me.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. We are in the Balboa Park. It is absolutely vast, isn't it, Dean?
It is.
You could do probably a good couple of days, probably, just exploring the park. It is massive. They describe it as sort of San Diego's Central Park, but it's more than that, really, because this is where all the sort of cultural activities take place in the city. So you've got, I'm looking at a list now of everything that is here, and if I was to read it to you, it would just be 10 minutes later.
Put it this way, there's a zoo.
There is a zoo, there is a Japanese garden, there are loads of performing art places as well. So they've got like a replica of the old Globe where they show Shakespearean plays. And like the architecture is incredible, isn't it? You kind of feel like the, it's... They're trying to get the European effect, aren't they? So there's
they
sort of classical
are,
Renaissance.
Actually. And there's a bit of a naval kind of influence as well. Just above us here, there's a beautiful archway, a cream archway that is, it's got a 1915 date on it with what looks like to be a pirate ship, Emma.
It's probably something to do with the Navy, isn't it?
It is.
This is the home of the US Navy. There's more people employed by the Navy here than anything else.
Yeah.
Could be a reference to that.
I think what they're trying to achieve is a one-stop shop for everything that the best parts of San Diego, right?
Yeah, but you're more interested in going on the children's railway.
Well, I just think it's the best way to get around. It's a hot day. I don't want to walk. When am I getting naked?
Okay, so there's something quite unusual right behind us, and that is the site of the Zorro Gardens nudist colony.
What?
Believe it or not, in the 1930s, when it was the California Pacific International Exposition, which this was all built for, this particular bit of the park housed a nudist colony run by a lady from India who called herself Queen Zareen.
Okay.
This is in 1936. Now, it was mainly female nudists in here.
Damn it.
And this is the bizarre bit. Visitors were charged 25 cents, that later went up to 75 cents, for unlimited observation time.
Hey, you'd love that.
Although, however, there were conveniently placed knot holes in the wooden fence, so you could have a sneaky peek for free as well. And you could watch the nudists, predominantly women, doing all sorts of things, such as just going about their daily life, really, because they would live here.
That sounds absolutely horrendous.
Well, it sounds horrendous.
Come and watch a bunch of naked people for 75p. That's ridiculous.
People would. A lot of people were calling for it to be closed down. Surviving photos, this is the disappointing bit now.
Okay.
Surviving photos show that the women were usually rarely ever fully nude. They were usually topless with G-strings, while the men wore loincloths.
Oh, damn
it. What's the point? Would you pay 75p to just see a man in a loincloth?
Well, I'm going to be fully naked for free in a bit when we go to the beach.
Where are my blinkers? It's Emma and Dean in South California. We're in San Diego at the HQ of San Diego Pride. And look, someone's finally got dressed up smartly to be interviewed by us.
I know. I'm so sorry that we came dressed like this.
I wish I could be in a tank top right now.
You look lovely in your floral cream tie. It's very, very nice. Are you not roasting? It's a hot day today.
Oh, I'm used to it.
Yes.
This is Fernando Lopez, the director of San Diego Pride, looking very dapper. So tell us a little bit about San Diego Pride, how it came about, how long it's been going.
Sure. So San Diego Pride started, the first protest march was in 1974. And at that time, it was still legal to lobotomize gay men in the state of California. Mm. A few dozen brave people wore paper bags over their heads and marched down the streets of downtown San Diego. And from that small, humble beginnings, we are now the largest event in the region. We have over 250,000 people who attend our parade every single year, 45,000 people at the festival, and we do year-round civic engagement programs, and we are the most philanthropic pride in the world.
What does that actually mean?
So you give the most money to good causes,
yes.
I'm guessing?
So most prides are sort of self-sustained, and they there's a committee, and they put on the event, and that's all they do that whole year, and that's wonderful. But what we do is have a year-round model where we actually put on the event. It's profitable, but those proceeds fund our year-round civic engagement programs for youth, women, trans communities, scholarships, and also grant giving. So we go through a grant cycle every year, and we give out money back to the community from the proceeds of our festival.
And do people pay to go to the festival then? Is that how it works? That's the model.
Yeah. So just like you would pay to go to a bar on Pride weekend, you pay to come into the festival. And our festival is massive. There's 4 music stages. We have some amazing top tier talent that comes through our event.
Who have you had?
So we had TLC last year. We had Kesha. We've had Laverne Cox come and George Takei. We've had Margaret Cho and Cyndi Lauper.
Wow.
So, it's been really wonderful to see the caliber of talent who's come to our event. And so you pay anywhere from $15 to $30 to come to the event, depending on when you buy your ticket. So plan ahead and get the cheaper ticket if you want. And we also have a great VIP experience. So you can pay $150 to $200 US dollars to come to a VIP experience. And it's really one of a kind. Our park is beautiful.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, where is it actually situated? Because prides across America are very different, aren't they?
Yeah, every pride sort of takes on the characteristic of its city. And as you can clearly see, San Diego, we're living heaven and paradise here. It's beautiful. The weather is gorgeous year-round, and it's right in the heart of Balboa Park. And so most festivals are sort of in their city, and there's like lots of tall buildings. We're in the middle of trees and grass and shade, and it's beautiful blue sky during the day and beautiful night sky in the evening. And so it's just one-of-a-kind experience.
I'm guessing it's June, is it? Because you have a pride season in the U.S., don't you?
So in San Diego, we are actually in July. Yeah, so we moved things around all across the U.S. They're not exactly on the same date anymore. They're usually in June, May, June, or July. So we don't step on each other's toes.
Fabulous. So you have that event in July, and that funds this building, which we're sat in now. So what would normally happen here the other 51 weeks of the year?
Sure. So we have a lot of civic engagement programs. One of the things that's coming up is it's an election year, so we do nonpartisan voter engagement, just making sure that LGBT people show up to the polls and vote. So we're actually represented in elected office. We have a lot of youth programs and women's programs. We have a youth leadership academy coming up in November, where around 100 youth from around the region that are LGBT will come and learn leadership skills, and that's really exciting. And so they're here. We have high school interns, college interns, people coming and learning life skills and job skills, and just helping to build a healthy LGBT community all year round.
Fernando, what would you say is the number one thing that you're facing difficulty with in the LGBT community at the moment?
There's a lot. I think discrimination, harassment, bullying is at an all-time high, regardless of your age. Having Trump as president right now means that a lot of folks are feeling emboldened. And so we have seen violence on the rise. We have seen bullying on the rise. So that's impacting our youth in our schools. That's impacting people walking down the street. And so we're hearing that more and more. So we're working more with city officials, SDPD, or our police department here in our mayor's office, to help find ways to protect adults who are just living their daily lives. And we work hand in hand with our school district here too, to make sure that LGBT policies are passed and actually implemented that protect our youth.
It's kind of depressing to hear that, but I'm glad
but it's
that
real,
here.
Isn't it? It's real. It's realistic.
I think it's across the world there's been a rise in homophobia. Mm-hmm. So you actually go into schools and talk to school kids as well, do you? Talk about homophobic bullying?
So what we do is we actually work on the top level to make sure that we advocate for funding and policies, that those policies are actually implemented. And so because of the work that we've done, we've actually managed to secure 2 full-time positions within a school district who are only focus on LGBT issues. And that's sort of one of a kind. No one other school district in the country really has that. Mm. So we don't have to be the people that do that. The school district now funds those positions, which is really great to see.
Fernando, I wanted to ask you, if you don't mind, about the hashtag MeTooLGBTQ campaign. Tell us about that.
So if you've seen across the United States and around the world, the Me Too movement has really taken off in the last year. And a lot of that has not centered particularly around the LGBTQ community. And so we saw a need, and I myself am a survivor. And so I've been doing advocacy work for around 5.5 years for sexual assault within the LGBT community. So when Me Too came around, we were already doing some collaborative work to help end sexual violence in the LGBTQ community. So that's where that sort of work came from. And we have hosted a first of its kind conference here in San Diego this year to really educate service providers around better serving the LGBT community. It's just work that a pride normally wouldn't be doing. You wouldn't
normally see a pride doing that sort of work.
But that's what happens when you take a different approach. And we've really shifted the model of what a pride is capable of doing.
Yeah. Do you think LGBT people are afraid to come out and speak about being victims of sexual assault? And that's a real problem?
I think there's a few things. I think anyone, regardless of your sexual orientation, is afraid to speak out. But I think that also, just as we understand systemic oppression to the LGBT community, there's a lack of cultural competency from service providers. Mm-hmm. And whether that's a first responding police officer or a physician that you might go to, or a legal advocate, they're not always LGBT supportive, right? Or they're not, or even if they are supportive, they're not culturally competent enough to have a conversation. And that looks very different when you're talking to a gay person or a lesbian person, bisexual person, than a heterosexual person, right? Mm-hmm. So helping folks understand that cultural competency is significant.
Do you know, it's really refreshing, actually, Fernando, to know that, you know, you guys are doing all this work on the ground, because prides in the UK are
are massively changing as well. And it's just nice to know that you guys, even though you're such a huge, probably 200,000 people apparently are visiting.
250, yeah.
200, that, I mean, that's massive. But to know that the real heart of this and the real meaning behind all of this is such an incredible campaign like the Me Too LGBTQ, I think it's amazing. I've got lots of friends that have came to San Diego Pride. We have never been. Why should we come to San Diego Pride?
I think you're going to come to San Diego Pride and then never want to go to any other Pride again, except for maybe your hometown Pride. It's beautiful. It's unique. The weather is amazing. The people in San Diego are very friendly and easy to warm up to. So it's very easy to make friends in San Diego. So even if you're traveling alone or just with a couple people, it's easy to sort of find a new group of friends who feel like family by the end of Pride. And our stages, I mean, the festival itself is so unique. There's Latin music, there's hip hop, there's EDM. There's singer-songwriters. It just, the music is so diverse. It's culturally diverse. And that cultural diversity is very visible in the parade and the festival. So if you come to San Diego Pride, you're going to see yourself reflected in the entertainers and the people running the event.
Which is crucial.
Absolutely sold on San Diego Pride. And imagine there's quite a lot of pool parties and beach parties as well.
Oh, always. There's a million parties going around all over the city. So however you celebrate Pride, there's a way to do it here in San Diego.
And the best way to get tickets in, because you've mentioned that it's cheaper to book them early.
Yes.
So, you know, it's better to put a bit of money away, get those tickets booked, and then it's done. How do we do that?
Absolutely. So our ticket sales go live in December, and it's SDPride.org, so you can come and check out all of those programs. You can donate to those programs and you can get your tickets early for $15 and have a great time.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you, Fernando.
It's so great to meet you.
And it's so good to meet other people that are passionate about supporting the LGBT community.
Thank you.
I think also as well, Emma's got her eye on one of those colourful hats over there, haven't you, Emma?
Oh, yes. So they've got some really nice San Diego Pride baseball caps.
We're gonna send you away with some cool San Diego Pride merchandise today.
So. Woohoo! Whoa! Hey, it's Emma and Dean in South California, and yet again we are on a beach. Hopefully you can hear the ocean in the background, wallowing against the beach there. This is called Black's Beach, I believe, yeah?
Yeah, and there's lots of naked bodies. Lots and lots of naked bodies.
Basically, if anything was going to remind me why I'm gay, the last 10 minutes cemented all those belief systems in my head, is
likewise,
all I'm saying.
Likewise. So we are on Black's Beach, and from the cliffside when you're walking down, it's a bit of an expedition to get here, isn't it?
Yeah, what was beautiful actually is when we got here, the car park is about a 10-minute walk up there, and there's a load of people paragliding off the cliff in front of us. Oh, that is quite big. Anyway, what was I saying? So above us, there are a load of people paragliding the cliffs, and in front of us are... God, it's like skyscrapers of cliffs in front of us.
They are mammoth,
really.
Truly mammoth. I suppose when you get down to the beach then, if, you know, it's not the white sandy beach that you'd sort of get in parts of Asia and Thailand, but you do have phenomenal waves, and it's a very clean beach.
It's good for surfing. There's a lot of people come down here with their surfboards.
As we walk along the beach, and actually, I'm starting to think that the reason why it's called Black's Beach is because the sand is a little bit black.
Yep, could be that.
It could be.
So we got a little bit confused with instructions from earlier, didn't we? Which bit is the gay bit?
Yes.
And I wouldn't say it's immediately obvious, would you? I mean, there's some obvious straight couples, aren't there?
Yes, there is.
And there's a lot of men on their own with the todgers out.
Do you know what? Let's go and chat to one of them. Come on. Let's ask this lovely girl. She's screaming for attention because she's not wearing any clothes. Great. Hello, gorgeous girl. Hello, gorgeous girls. Hey.
Hiya.
Hi.
We're from a radio station in the UK and we're lost.
Oh my God, let's get her on the
English
phone.
Lady on the phone.
Rachel?
December.
Rachel.
So where are you from?
Sheffield.
Oh, you don't sound like you're from Sheffield.
It's a very posh Sheffield accent.
What do you mean it's not a Sheffield accent?
You sound American to me.
Is it raining out your window?
No, she's here.
No.
Oh, so she's here. Aww. Why are we talking to her? Hang up. Bye, Rachel. Okay, one second. We just want to ask you, right? We want to ask you, because we've just arrived here. Obviously, we've got too much clothes on. Yeah. You guys don't. Because we don't know where's the gay bit? Where's the gay bit?
It's California.
Is the whole beach gay?
I mean, the whole world is.
Okay, so we were told there was a gay bit of the beach. You know where that is?
I have no clue, so just keep walking and keep asking.
Are these guys?
I feel like everybody is. There might be some swingers too.
Oh, that you run. Swingers! Yeah. It's a swingers beach.
Well, if you see a couple, most likely. Really?
Maybe they think we're swingers.
So, is there a little hanky panky that goes on this beach then?
Yeah, apparently so.
Apparently, rumor
after
has
dark,
it.
Like when it hits dark.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're not here for that long. Anyway.
Gutted.
What you're saying is get your clothes off, just pick up a spot and let it all hang out.
I think it's freeing, yeah.
Do you?
How do you feel right now?
Really high.
I was actually going to say.
Send our love to your friend Rachel, who's from Sheffield.
Thanks, girls.
Thanks, girls.
Enjoy your day. Did you enjoy talking to naked women?
Well,
then,
not really, because I could just it's very, very distracting them. I can now say I've interviewed two naked women.
Yeah, that's. I don't think I've ever interviewed two naked women. That's the first.
It's semi-naked Emma and Dean from Black's Beach here in San Diego. It's about 28 degrees.
We are sweating quite heavily. We've just walked quite a long distance down Black's Beach because we were desperate to find the gay area.
I think we find it.
Please tell us we found a homosexual.
You found plenty of us. I mean, no, there's plenty of people, yes.
What's your name?
I'm Pascal.
Great. And how often do you come out here and get naked then, Pascal?
Once or twice a week for 8 years now.
Wow.
That's a lot of potential action you could be having on this beach, because you said that it all goes on here, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Especially up at the far end where there is the bamboo hotel.
Right.
It's not a real hotel.
It's a forest of bamboo that has been redesigned inside for spaces.
You're kidding me.
How many spaces?
No,
how many men?
You're going to have to go check it out for the travelogue.
How many men fit in the bamboo hotel?
You could probably 8 to a room.
What is it about being a nudist, though? What is it that makes you want to come to a nudist beach rather than a regular beach?
No tan lines.
We love this. I mean, where else can you go and have the freedom, and then you get to meet all kinds of people, as I have over the last 8 years.
Mm. Oh, he's giving he's just
why are you holding your nipples while you're doing a 360 turn for us?
I was
shy.
This is really weird. I've never interviewed a naked man before, but it's the first time for everything, Pascal. Can I just say your diamante earrings are lovely?
Oh, thank you.
That's the only thing that you're wearing.
But it's a grand... look at the size of this beach. I mean,
it's beautiful.
You've got to say something else.
Look at the size of this.
I was getting there.
So your big suggestion then is to head down to the Bamboo Hotel.
Blimey.
For the experience.
Oh, here we go.
Now, you may recall a few weeks ago, I invented Topless Tuesday. This Tuesday, we've gone one better, haven't we, Dean?
We are
on a nudist beach in San Diego.
Yes.
Not only that, we're in the gay bit.
We are. We've searched high and low. We've gone over many a dune. We've saw many a sight, but we've reached our destination. We're right outside the Bamboo Hotel. Now, this is the big cruising spot here on Black's Beach. There's a high chance we're going to get thrown out, but we just want to go in and see what we can
see. Don't mind telling you, I feel the most uncomfortable I've ever felt in my life.
Okay, so all you got to do is follow the bamboo. I think that's a euphemism. Okay.
Hang on a minute. Shh. I need flip-flops.
Here we are. Just follow the bamboo. And we're coming in. Oh, I see what's going on. So when you... Let's go down this way.
Hang on a minute.
Because I think one of the bays, if you want to call it that, is being occupied at the minute.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, so let's go.
What, behind us, to the right or to the left?
So, I mean, this is actually quite luxurious, isn't it? This is proper laid-back luxury.
Right. I'm not being funny, but the room to the right of us just has like a little towel down. That's the bedding.
That's the one we're going to ignore.
Also, I'm not being funny. I haven't got any footwear on, and I dread to think what's actually gone on in this bamboo hotel.
Shall we go into the penthouse on the left? Okay, come through. So we're going to have to duck down.
Hang on, listen to the sound of the bamboo cracking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's proper Jungle Book. Right, so...
Why is there a helicopter overhead?
Okay, so let's just go through.
What is going
on? Get right down.
I feel like I'm on some weird sort of gay Jungle Book expedition here.
Yeah. Like, I mean, to be honest with you, right? Let's sit down as if it was me and you here alone.
Oh, okay, right. Oh, it's so romantic here
this
in the bamboo hotel.
This is quite ideal.
It's really quite cute, isn't it? Because the bamboo is covering us.
You're getting a lot for your money, aren't you?
But you can still clearly see into the other rooms, and you can clearly see out to the beach. You get a lovely view of the beach while you're doing what you want to do in the bamboo hotel.
And people get a lovely view of you because you can see there's an audience there on the left-hand side that have...
Yeah, yeah. In fact, they've all turned around and they're staring at us thinking, what are those two
idiots
doing?
They're very strategically placed, aren't they?
Why is there a woman in the bamboo hotel? I think it's normally reserved for men, isn't it? Oh, God, what's in my back? It's bamboo. Right.
So after you've finished your business, you can walk out your veranda onto the... You can walk onto the balcony, and here we are.
Beautiful
Let's go and have a chat with these guys, shall we? Because they obviously are residents of the Bamboo Hotel. Hello, chaps.
You've got a good spot there, guys.
Hello there, friend. What's your name?
I'm not going to give you my name.
Okay. Don't
bother. We're just chatting to people, finding out why people come to this beach and why... Is it a good place to come?
Oh, yeah, this is a good place to come.
You talk about a Horn Beach. Black Beach is a very beautiful place. And people here, they are very open.
Something that's absolutely fascinating me, guys, is the Bamboo Hotel that's right behind you. Tell us a little bit about what goes on in the Bamboo Hotel.
Well, whatever they would like us to talk about it, we don't mind it much. We're coming here for different things. We're coming here to enjoy the nature.
Naughty things happen in there?
What do you mean, naughty things?
Well, you're very strategically placed. I mean, if you just look over your left-hand side and someone's over there having a little moment...
We have no idea.
Oh, we don't have any... Okay.
No, we don't have any idea about it, so sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All I'm saying is you have got a good view. Your spot is spot on, really, isn't it?
Right here is the best place for you to... And if you take a walk a little bit there, if you're rock, if you're sitting there, this is the nicest place whenever dolphin... Whenever dolphins come in, this is the best place for you to enjoy watching them.
Thank you very much. All right,
chaps,
enjoy the rest of your day.
Enjoy your afternoon.
Have fun. Interesting stuff there, Emma, that they wouldn't admit. That the reason why they're sitting outside the cruising hotspot had got anything to do with what they may see. When in doubt, direct the tourists to the dolphins.
It's Emma and Dean in South California on a rooftop. And, oh, surprise, surprise, I'm surrounded by gay men again. What a terrible job I have.
I've taken you to one of the best hotspots, apparently, before you go on your proper night out. I'm joined now. This is Andrew, Jazz, and what was your name again?
Robbie.
Robbie works at the Apple Store.
Basically, it's Robbie.
He won't tell us where he works, so we're going to just pretend that he works at the Apple Store. I'm just kidding.
I think this is a weekly night, isn't it? And it is beautiful. We're on a rooftop. There's beautiful fairy lights everywhere. The drinks are very strong. If you get here in time, you could watch the sun setting over the Pacific Ocean and over the harbour. It would have been beautiful. Unfortunately, we were a little bit too late.
Boys, tell us this then. Is this quite a fun place to hang out for tourists coming to San Diego?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. This is like one of the best places other than Hillcrest and Gaslamp. You get to see like all the ships, you see the bay, you see the sunset. It's probably one of the most romantic places. It's
romantic.
Probably why boys take me here, you know?
Oh, okay, girl. Okay, so this is quite a big dating spot?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is where if you have a lady or your man, whichever way you swing, if you want to take someone out, you want to show them a romantic night, you got to go here.
Like, can you just remind us where here is? Because totally lost track.
Puerto Vista.
Right,
Puerto Vista.
It's
in Little Italy, so like Porto Visto is a hotel in Little Italy. It gives us a chance, you know, like gay people in San Diego are really restricted to the Hillcrest neighborhood of San Diego, and so it gives us a chance to, you know, kind of leave the neighborhood, get out a little bit, you know, we get to go down to Little Italy. It's kind of fun. Yeah, so Little Italy is kind of, it's a little bit more fancy. It's kind of north of downtown a little bit. So you get a lot of the more bougie places of downtown mixed with
the
trendier
vibe.
Places, you know, that people our age like to go to. So it's a nice, like, meeting spot for gay people. And then you get to watch the sunset at the same time, so it's great.
So are you here with a partner, or you're here to find a partner?
No, I'm with my friends. You know, we're finding partners tonight. That's what we do.
So we don't need partners.
We don't really need that. But, you know, like, whatever comes. You know?
Is that why you're all wearing your best shirt? I noticed you've mentioned bougie. You're giving me a paisley print, Jazzy. You're giving me a Hawaiian kind of, a fabulous vibe here.
I'm loving the Hawaiian print.
Jazzy, is this the kind of place, because we've noticed since we've been in San Diego that the dress code here is quite relaxed, but in Puerto Vista, it's a little bit more dressy. Talk to us about that.
Well, San Diego in general is a little bit more laid back. It's a little bit more fun and just do whatever you want. Puerto Vista Vista. I mean, like Andrew said, we're here to have a good time. We're here to maybe meet people. We're here to socialize. And we're in a more bougie part of town. So we like to, you know, dress up, look our best, have a little fun, maybe get a couple eyes or something, you know.
And you were telling us that you've actually got family in Portsmouth. Say hello to them.
Hey, what's up, Aunt Janet, Uncle Richard?
Oh my God, my parents are called Jenny and Richard.
All right, yeah.
But
so,
it's not them.
This your nephew Jazz here in San Diego. I love you guys so much. I just saw you last week, but I miss you already.
Oh, is there a, do you see so a difference partying in San Diego to the UK?
Yeah, definitely. I think, and it's kind of hard to put into words, but I think when I go out in London, it's more of a socialite vibe. It's more of a big city vibe, which San Diego is a big city, but I think a lot of people that live here would comment that it's a little more chill. It's a little more casual. Whereas London, I feel like when I go there, I have to be at my top game. I have to be at my best. I really try to, you know, meet some fun people, maybe get a boy with a British accent or something.
Well, listen, it's beautiful here. We're under the moonlight. The planes keep landing really low right next to us. But where should we go next?
Oh, definitely Hillcrest. Hillcrest or Gaslamp. If you want the gay scene, Hillcrest. Yeah. If you want the straight scene, Gaslamp.
No,
both
gay.
Both are super fun. There's good music, there's good dancing, and there's always good drinks.
Boys, tonight is Operation Find Emma, you know, at least a little snog. Do we in San Diego, do we mix the gays and the girls together? Does that happen? Can we get this happening tonight?
Okay, Hillcrest, honestly, what happens is all the girls bring all their straight friends, and then it's like half gay, half straight, and you're like, is she looking for a guy?
Hillcrest? She's not looking for a guy. She's
looking for a guy.
Oh, Hillcrest for sure. There's flicks, there's Gossip Girl. But not girl, grill.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You see the wordplay. It's fun.
I'm loving it.
And then there's Riches. Riches is free before midnight. They have an R&B dance floor, they have EDM dance floor. It's so fun.
Yeah, you boys are next level. We need to just stick with you, okay? Go and get us a drink and we'll stay and hang out with
Uber
you.
Uber XL together. It's
Uber XL together. Okay, nice one. So from Jazz, Andrew, and Robbie, it's Emma and Dean, and we're going out!
We're going out! Party time! It's Emma and Dean in South California, still on our trip in San Diego, but we've got a little bit out the city limits, haven't we, Dean?
We have indeed. We've made our way to the Cabo Music Festival, which is a 3-day festival in a massive, massive car park.
It is absolutely huge. There are, what, 6 stages?
Yep, including a comedy stage as well for you to go and relax and enjoy some of America's best comedians, apparently.
And they're obviously very funny because we've just seen people queuing around the block to get tickets just for the comedy. But I think it's more about the music here, isn't it, really?
It is. Well, last night, Blondie took to the stage. We were too busy slinking around Hillcrest last night that we actually missed her. But the headliners also include Earth, Wind and Fire.
And tomorrow night, Katy Perry is headlining. I tell you who I would be excited to see. Bit of an 80s blast from the past. Billy Idol is also on a little bit later. If you can hear some music in the background, that is Soul Asylum, a band of which I owned a CD single, Runaway, in 1992. But you've never heard of them, have you?
That was the year I was born.
I was. Thank
you. And I love the fact that we've got Better Than Ezra coming up at 2:20 today. He must be of no relation to George Ezra, but you know what? I would be there in the front row because I absolutely love him.
Do you think George Joshua thinks he's better than George Joshua?
I'm sure he might have something to say about that, you know. It's just so nice, actually, because there are so many different types of people here. There are families here, there are couples here, everybody's just out for a good time.
And do you know what? The last festival I went to was in North Wales, and I had to have my wellies, and we were traipsing through a lot of mud in a field. This is like the opposite in terms of conditions.
It is.
There is not a cloud in the sky. I am dripping in sweat.
Yes.
And we walk around a car park, but it's a lot nicer experience.
They've really hit the nail on the head in terms of, like, you know, their vendors and stuff as well. They've thought of everything. We've just coated ourselves from head to toe in cocoa cooling spray with a factor 30 in it.
Yes, and obviously because our bodies are temples, Dean, and we don't really touch liquor, do we?
No, we don't.
So
today.
this hour. For the next 5 minutes. So we've just enjoyed a kombucha.
Yes, now this is a kombucha. It's basically a probiotic
probiotic for your stomach, right? Which doesn't sound too glamorous, but actually what it does is it's fermented mushrooms, and it's a really nice alternative to alcohol. So if you're here, say you've had a heavy couple of days, which we may have, you can actually come to the festival, enjoy yourself drinking things like kombucha, because it does taste a wee bit like alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, you made it sound absolutely disgusting, fermented mushrooms, which it is, but I had a pomegranate flavour.
Yes.
You had apple, did you?
I had pink lady apple, and I must say, I do feel a wee bit wavy.
It's weird, isn't it?
I'm not going to have a hangover.
It's definitely not alcohol, but I do feel a little bit wavy.
Which is it's quite an American thing, isn't it, to happen, you know, kombucha at a music festival.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of fun, though. It's called the Caboo Del Mar Festival. Happens every year, so check out the website and find out when it's on next year, because it's definitely worth the trip if you're in or near San Diego. Hope you've enjoyed our adventures. We need to tell you exactly what happened on that beach.
What has just happened, Emma?
Oh, my actual God. I've waited 47 years to get naked in front of a work colleague.
And I've been waiting for the last 6 months to see your behind.
Well, I saw more than your behind, Dean McCulloch.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say it, but please, if you want to have a look at me and Emma's behind, get onto Instagram because you need to see what has just happened.
I can't believe that I agreed to this. This was 100% your idea, Dean McCulloch, and I cannot believe I agreed to getting naked and having a photo. You'll be glad to know, if you're of sensitive nature, that it's quite a silhouette, isn't it? You can't see all my curves and bumps.
It's very calendar curves, isn't it?
And lady humps.
But bless any seagulls that were looking inwards to the shore, they're no longer with us, I think.
But then, unfortunately, what happened is then I put on my bikini bottoms again, and then thought, I'll just go for a little swim topless now, that'll be nice. And then, unfortunately, you decided you were going to have another photo. I turned around at the wrong moment. I have seen your bits.
Yes, I had my hands in the air and Emma looked around and she really did care.
I really wasn't trying to look. That's
no,
the
but
point.
She did. So I said, Emma, please don't look. You're going to see Matt. And she looked again. And I was like, all right, Emma. Yes, I see why you looked around again.
I'd seen about 35 on that beach. So adding yours to the list was no biggie.
Hey, I tell you what,
no
though,
pun intended.
It was a biggie. Hey, I tell you what. Hey, listen, if you come to San Diego, you really must go down to Black's Beach. It is something to behold. Emma says that she saw around 35 bits.
Touchers.
35 touchers. And I saw...
And how many Vs did you see?
It's one too many. Let me put it that
one.
Way.
One.
Yeah. But it was... There's so many interesting little characters. And actually, if you do like getting your kit off, Emma, and if you do want to feel liberated, because you did tell me that as soon as you did it, you felt liberated.
No, do you know what, Dean? Although I'm taking the mickey out of you and saying, I can't believe you made me do it. I genuinely did feel quite liberated. And I have to say, it's probably one of my highlights of the trip.
It was brilliant.
But it's a lovely city, isn't it? There's so much to offer people that go there. There's so much going on downtown. There's so much arts and cultural scene.
Do you know how I would describe this? If you've got an inner child that has a really intense hobby or something that you just like to do to switch off, you need to come to San Diego. You can see grown men and women going around on remote-controlled skateboards. Yeah. I saw an elderly man about 60 flying his remote-controlled aeroplane off the side of a cliff. There are hundreds of people parasailing in the sky. Everyone comes here to relax.
Yeah, it's quite an outdoorsy place, isn't it, really?
It really is.
And add to that some of the best Mexican food I've ever had. It's a win-win, isn't it?